For July 7th, 2018, welcome to the Superfly Oz podcast. I am he, Superfly Oz himself, Stan Fitchman, here giving you perspective and insight, trustworthy perspective and insight on what is going on around the world, across the United States, and here in my corner of the world, here in the state of Hawaii, United States of America. Welcome to the balmy days of summer, folks, July 2018, and to the 56th episode of the podcast. I'm so glad that you're here. Here's some housekeeping items just to make sure that you stay connected with the podcast. If you want to reach out to me and let me know how I'm doing, or you want to send me a letter by which I will be reading it off on the air, please go ahead and go to sjfhawaii@gmail.com. Type it up, send it to me. I will take a look at it, and if it is good enough for a broadcast, I will put it up on the air. So I'm looking forward to your comments and perspectives as to how this show is and or what I'm talking about on the show. If you would like to go to other episodes of the podcast, former episodes that go back all the way to November of last year, go to www.politicshawaii.com. Politicshawaii.com is where you're going to find all the shows of the Superfly Oz podcast. Again, I am so glad that you are here today because I am so excited about this show. And that's the reason why we're just going to go jumping right into it here in just a few seconds. And that is the interview that I had with Brandon De La Cruz back on July 1st, his first day of freedom, his first day as chairman of the board of the Filipino Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii. He was the president, and he was the president-elect of the Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii, Filipino Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii, for the last 2 years. And so July 1st was the first day that he was done being president, and so I wanted to grab him and have an interview with him and talk to him about what he did during the year. So I'm really glad that he took some time out. It was on a Sunday afternoon. The interview itself was conducted over at the L&L concession over at the Alawai Golf Course. L&L, which is the L&L Barbecue Hawaii concession there. There's a room in the background by which we conducted the interview. So you're going to hear just a shad little bit of an echo and a little bit of the crowd that was outside that was kind of hooting and hollering in regard to, I believe it was a golf tournament that was going on that was being broadcast into the restaurant. The interview itself is for about 33 minutes. So that's why this show is going to be a little bit longer today. So please sit back, relax, and listen to the insight and perspectives of the outgoing president of the Filipino Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii, Mr. Brandon De La Cruz, on the Superfly Oz podcast. So the Superfly Oz podcast is honored to have with us today Brandon De La Cruz, the outgoing president of the Filipino Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii. Introduce yourself, Brandon.
Mabuhay! This is Brandon De La Cruz. I am the outgoing president of the Filipino Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii for the 2017-2018 term, but I'm also a great friend of Mr. Superfly Oz over here, Stan Fitchman. So thank you for having me on the show once again.
Hey, it's my pleasure, man. I'm really glad that you're here. You know, so let's start off with a little bit of perspective. So you started off your year in July 1st of last year, is that correct?
That's correct.
And so you got voted in before, and then that was the first day that you served.
So it was actually 2 years before, actually no, the year before I started serving,
okay,
as president when I got elected.
Okay.
So the position is a president elect. And so the idea behind that, Stan, was to prepare me for the role that I'd be going into as president of the Filipino Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii. So essentially, it's almost like a 2-year term.
Okay.
In a lot of ways, you're kind of walking, and then once July 1st of your term hits, boom, you got to start running.
Okay, cool. So you did the year before, you're now doing the year of your presidency, and being that today is July 1st, 2018, you're now done being president, and now you're
today, chairman. Right. Today's the first day of freedom.
So basically, you're now what, chairman of the board, past president? What do they call you?
So the role is actually immediate past president.
Immediate
past president. So, okay. You know, in a lot of ways, the role now is more of an advisory role.
Okay.
You know, you take a lot of the things that you've done over the last 2 years,
mm-hmm,
and provide perspective, valuable perspective on the future leadership and members who are going to be actively engaged in the organization. So that's where my role is now.
Okay. So let's talk about your year, years, sure, of year of success
as the Filipino Chamber of Commerce president. First of all, what drove you to become or want to become the president of the Chamber of Commerce? Because, you know, Chamber of Commerce is a kind of passé a little bit in many ways, even though in the past it used to be kind of like the other arm of government of whatever entity, mm-hmm. whether it's a city or a county or ethnicity. What led you to want to become chairman, or not president, of the Chamber of Commerce?
Well, Stan, I've been involved in the Filipino community for about 20 years when I was a student at the University of Hawaii in college. And I grew up in the community, essentially. I made a lot of great friends, a lot of great relationships. You know, in a lot of ways, even indirectly, I got my job through the Filipino community. So essentially, I came up in the Filipino community. I also came up as a person, professionally and personally, in the community. So being that the Filipino Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii was an organization that existed within the Filipino community, it had the number one, the one of the longest histories within the Filipino community, being that it started in 1954.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, 1954. And so in a lot of ways, the Filipino Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii played an integral role in many aspects of the Filipino community's growth within the modern era. And so, again, Filipinos came to Hawaii in 1906, established the Filipino community, and 1954 is not that much further down the road mm-hmm. from 1906. So, again, within the modern contemporary Filipino community history, the Filipino Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii has been seen as a leader. And so, being that I've grown up in the community for the last 20 years or so, coming up as a leader, I became intrigued by the opportunity to lead the organization, mainly because, you know, I'll use the analogy of like going to school. You know, like you start off like, you know, kindergarten, and you go through the grades. So the Filipino Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii, in a lot of ways, was almost like, you know, my senior year. You know, my senior year, going through maybe college even. Senior year, college, you kind of get the analogy.
The highest level of education.
Right. So I felt that, wow, you know, this is probably one of the best opportunities I can contribute to the Filipino community at the highest level, with an organization that has a storied history of making an impact, not just within the Filipino community, but for Filipinos in Hawaii. So that's what... In a very long way to answer your question.
Long way that you had to explain. So, during your year as president, now, being the president of the Filipino Chamber of Commerce, are you kind of like the preeminent representative of the Filipino community in Hawaii when you were president of the Chamber of Commerce?
I think a lot of people within the community outside of the Filipino community do see the Filipino Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii as like one of the top Filipino organizations out there. In fact, the other organization that I would also say that people outside in the larger Hawaii community see as the other organization that has a storied reputation is the Filipino Community Center, which started as a project of the Filipino Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii.
Right.
So in a lot of ways, you know, again, the Filipino Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii is seen as a leader. And so in that regard, I would say that, yeah, there is a responsibility of leadership that I had to undertake as the president of the Filipino Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii within the larger Hawaii community. I mean, you know, Governor David Ige came with us to the Philippines.
Yeah, I was going to get back to you actually on the Philippine trip in just a second. So that's not, that we're going to get back to
sure,
that.
Sure, sure.
So you got into this position. You're one of the you're seen as one of the leaders in the Filipino community. In a nutshell, how has that year been?
You know, it's been one of growth. And I would say growth professionally, personally, as well as within the organization. You know, with any president, whether you're the president of the United States, president of France, Germany, you go in there and you take a look at the lay of the land, and or even president of the JCs, as he was once.
That's true.
You know, you take a look at the lay of the land and you kind of survey things and see, okay, well, you know, there's so many things that you want to do, but you got to take a look and see what needs to be done.
Mm.
And you got to focus on what needs to be done. And while you have things that you want to do, it's not as important as what needs to be done. So there were things that needed to be done on the back end that needed to be taken care of on the administrative level that I am very proud to say that we have taken care of. Some other things that came into our year of opportunity was, again, and I know I might be jumping the gun a little bit, was the opportunity of having Governor David Ige come to the Philippines with us.
Now, why don't we talk about that for just a second. So, as a listener to the Superfly Oz podcast, we'll remember back around, I guess it was September, maybe October.
Right.
I interviewed you and Marcus Pang, who is also a friend of ours, to about the trip to the Philippines. And so, if you're looking to that episode, go ahead, go to www.politicshawaii.com and go to, I believe it was episode 21 or 22. It was one of the first episodes that I have still listed on the Podomatic site. So at that point, you gave me some perspective as to what's going on in the Philippines and such. But let's talk about that Philippines trip for just a second, because it does really sound like that was a trip that was really, really the pinnacle of the time that you were president of the Filipino Chamber. So how has that trip, from the time that we reported on it, manifested itself? What has happened since then? What developments have happened?
Well, I would like to say, at least for, you know, going back to the to that show, just to give a little bit of
insight
for the listeners. Again, this was an opportunity to bring the highest representative of the state of Hawaii to the Philippines, to give him a perspective and an understanding of the Filipino culture and the Filipinos here in Hawaii. You know, the hospitality, the culture, the people, just how you know, generous and giving they are, and hardworking, and in a lot of ways, you know, just understanding the Filipino community as a whole through the people. And so with respect to that, that was one of the greatest accomplishments of the trip. Now, bringing it back to what has happened now, I would continue to say that the governor sees a lot of value in the Filipino community still, and he's been working diligently to implement the Memorandum of Understanding that was signed in the Philippines, as was discussed during the show that you recorded earlier, to bring that to life. And there has since been a working group that has been formed, which consists of the head of the DBED, Luis Oliveria.
The Department of Business, Economic Development, and Tourism, which is a department here in the state of Hawaii.
There's the University of Hawaii, I think, is involved in this too.
Okay.
Also, the sitting president of the Filipino Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii, which is now Vanessa.
Vanessa Kopp.
Vanessa Kopp. So yeah, she's on that committee, and some others who are within the, I don't remember the composition of the group, but there is a working group that is working towards trying to explore different opportunities to expand on this Memorandum of Understanding and try to see what ties between the Philippines and Hawaii can be made. Now, again, there's so much that is involved in this, and this stuff doesn't happen overnight, like flipping a light switch. It's really a slow simmer into something that will hopefully become fruitful, not just for the Filipino community in Hawaii, but just Hawaii as a whole. Because, you know, when you share knowledge and you have different resources and different technology that you're able to share in a lot of different aspects of commerce and trade and even you know, the community, then, you know, it just makes things easier for everybody.
So the trip was something that we will be seeing the developments of that trip for quite a long time to come, with this Memorandum of Understanding and this working group that has been formed on this side. I'm assuming that there's a working group that has been formed on the Philippine side that will be interacting with us here.
Yes. So on the Philippine side, there is an organization called the League of Provinces of the Philippines. So essentially, that consists of all the different provinces within the Philippines. Now, just to give listeners some perspective, a province is the equivalent of a state in the United States. So Hawaii, the state of Hawaii, has agreements in essence with all the different provinces of the Philippines through this League of Philippine Provinces.
Wow.
To try to develop this opportunity. Now, again, there's so much more involved in this with respect to how the group here is going to be communicating with the group in the Philippines. And, you know, I hope to see within the next couple of years that something substantial will come out of it. I mean, I've been telling this to people that, you know, about a year ago, there's and actually this has happened even years before I became president of the Filipino Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii, that there's so many people investing in condominium developments in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but and I see the ads in the papers sometimes too, right, especially in the Filipino Courier, other newspapers.
So there are people who are already doing that and having that economic opportunity flourish. And so what this memorandum of understanding does, it to, hey, look, you know, maybe there's other things that we can partner up in, mm-hmm, and try to see what can expand from that. Now obviously there's things and standards and protocols that need to be followed, but, you know, we'll see. I mean, that again goes back to the whole slow simmering process of how all this is going to develop.
Okay, so you talking about one-off events during your year as president, and I think that the listeners might want to know about this, but what was the most rewarding event or rewarding thing of your year?
Okay, so I would like to say that the most rewarding thing that, at least that had an impact within the Filipino community, and not just within the Filipino community, but just within the larger community that happened last year, or sorry, during my year, now because it's July 1st, call it last year, was the honoring of the Filipino Business Executive of the Year. Now, mm-hmm, now I will say that because 2 years ago I tried to push for it.
Okay.
And, you know, these people said, oh, no, you know, we shouldn't do it because of this and that and this and that. And so I said, okay, you know, I'll just hang back a little and I'll just wait. I really felt strongly about this, Stan, mainly because if you take a look at the composition of the executive, the executives at the largest, at the highest levels of many of Hawaii's largest corporations, mm-hmm, you won't necessarily see a lot of Filipino,
yeah,
at that level. So I really wanted to make it a point to say, hey, look, Filipinos are talented. Filipinos can lead at the executive level. And so I talked to our chair, who's now the president-elect after. So she's going to be taking over after Vanessa. Okay. Her name is Nancy Walsh. And thank Nancy. Oh, okay.
She was the one who was honored at the dinner.
Yes. And so, she was a chair.
Oh, okay. So
I told her, hey, Nancy, you know, we got to do this because this is what is going to propel the Filipino community and Filipinos. This is going to provide inspiration for a lot of aspiring Filipino professionals to go for that top rank, you know. And so we were fortunate to be able to find a very talented Filipino who worked for Kaiser Permanente. She's the regional compliance officer. Her name is Maria Borge Bronkowski.
Mm.
And so she became the first ever Filipino Business Executive of the Year for the Filipino Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii. And I know you were there, so you heard her speech.
Yes, it's very, very inspirational. So that obviously is going to be going on in regard to as a ongoing event in the chamber.
Hopefully. I hope so.
Yeah,
I hope so. And you know, again, this is what I felt very strongly about for many years, 2 years ago, that we really got to put our Filipino talent on a pedestal to a certain extent so that the corporations of Hawaii will see that Filipinos can lead organizations. And if you want to tap into the Filipino community, which is a large part of Hawaii's population, that you gotta look at talent who can connect with the community that, mm-hmm, you're trying to reach out to. And so thus, you know, I hope that this program continues.
What was the most challenging aspect of the job?
I think the most challenging aspect of the job was, you know, and I'll say this in a way that will hopefully be something that will resonate with people, is that, you know, you gotta take care of things that you necessarily don't want to take care of,
but you
gotta take care of it. And again, without going into too much detail, the administrative aspects of the organization were a little bit challenged.
Okay.
And so, you know, I took it upon this year, and not just me, but I've had a lot of talented people like Faye Velasco. The list goes on and on. You know, people who really just took the horn and really just, you know, took the bull by the horn, so to speak, and we really were able to control that. Because again, you know, we can have all these grand plans and grand ideas of what we want to do, but we got to make sure that our fundamentals are strong.
Mm.
And so administratively, I wanted to make sure that we had some good fundamentals. Now, it's an ongoing process. I'm not going to say that we accomplished being able to take care of all that this year, but hopefully this year with Vanessa's leadership and Nancy, we'll be able to take care of a lot of that. And it's an ongoing process. And a lot of organizations, what I've found out, not just within the Filipino community, but just, you know, in many different facets of the different communities that exist within Hawaii, are challenged by this aspect.
Okay. So one more question in regard to your service as president of the Filipino Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii. I know your age, so I'm not going to actually say what your age is on the radio, but you are a young man. I mean, you're a person who is still up and coming and is a leader in the community. Were you the youngest president of the Chamber of Commerce, or were you one of the younger ones?
Well, what do you define young as?
Probably
drinking age.
Yeah, right. Drinking age on, right? But were you one of the younger ones, or you were kind of around in the middle?
I think I am probably one of the younger ones.
Okay, all right. So your inspiration to be a younger leader in the community, has that resonated in the Filipino community to bring up other young leaders in the community? Because from my aspect, from my perspective, I see leaders in the Filipino community as well as in the Japanese community, as well as in the Chinese community, as well as pretty much every community to have, you know, kind of like a middle ranking people around our age, you know, who are younger. But the higher rank is definitely much older. Right. I mean, they skew almost to a retirement age type of thing. But has your leadership inspired other young people in the community to rise up and say, hey, I want to take on that role, and I want to take it on around the same time?
I would like to hope so. And perhaps there are people who have seen that. But, you know, I just wanted to make a difference with... I just wanted to contribute my skills and my talents to the community in a way that would make positive change. And, you know, we talk about that in the JCs a lot.
Yeah, right.
And whatever results come out of that, whether it's somebody who gets inspired by that, and regardless of age, and I hope that people who are younger would take on the mantle and see that as something valuable. Now, Stan, I think one of the things that challenges the community, the Filipino community, is there's this gap between, you know, the way things are done with the more traditional community as it's organized now, and the younger community that resonates with other things and other popular things that don't necessarily cross over. And so that's where there's a little bit of a gap that I see.
Okay.
And you know, we have our friend Gabe Torno.
Yes, Gabe Torno, yes.
He's a young leader in his own right, but he carved his own name.
Right.
With his Tanique Links, you know, merging hip-hop and the traditional bamboo stick dancing of the Filipino culture. Now, does he want to come in and become president of the Filipino Chamber? Probably not. But what I'm seeing now is, you know, younger people... And I hope that there are younger people who will see that there's a history and there's a prestige to being president of the Filipino Chamber, or just in the leadership within the Filipino Chamber, as something valuable for their professional and or career development now. No, but I'm also seeing a lot of Filipinos carving their own lane.
And those may come back into the lane of the more traditional, or they might continue on in their own right and their own path, and they create their own path.
Right.
So, you know, only time will tell with that. By the way, Gabe Torno, I really should probably get him onto the show also. He's a very fascinating person. He created this nonprofit, this Tecnicleans. Tecnicleans. And it's a dance troupe that goes around the island and around the state. And actually, I've seen them also in the mainland sometimes. They go over to the mainland and they do these Filipino what are they called, stick dance?
They do a stick dance, but they make it this traditional Filipino dance that's several hundred years old,
yeah,
and they merge it and they fuse it with the dance of the modern day, which is like hip-hop dance.
Yeah, so like I said, I really am thinking about trying to get Gabe now that you mentioned him back onto the show. So where does Brandon Dela Cruz go from here? He's a young man. He's gone and done the preeminent position in the Filipino community as a leader. You're now seen as a leader. You've done your 2 years of service, your president-elect, as well as your year of presidency. You went to the Philippines. You went with the governor governor of the state of Hawaii, David Ige. You came back. You did a lot of stuff with the Filipino chamber to put it onto the right path. And then July 1st comes around and it's over. So I know, as a former leader of a statewide organization myself, I know that asking this question is not, you know, there's really no answer to it right now because you're just getting done with the thing that you did before. But what do you feel like you want to do next? I mean, is there something you want to do next outside of just sleeping in and not worrying about going to every project in the world?
Let me answer this question by sharing a story with you that I was once told by Robin Campagnano, who is one of Hawaii, well, he was the president and CEO of AIG Hawaii, but he was a very prominent Filipino executive mm-hmm. back in the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sharing his story of his rise into leadership in the business community here in Hawaii. And he was saying that a lot of it just happened by happenstance, serendipitously. Like it just kind of gelled together. And in short, that's how my career and my involvement and my leadership journey has happened. It just happened just by being in the right place at the right time.
I see. So,
and even with, you know, my job now as the director of marketing for L&L, I mean, you know, again, how that all related and parlayed with all that. I'll just say it's all God's plan.
Now that
I'm here now on July 1st, 2018, it's still all God's plan, whatever's going to happen. But I tell you this, Dan. Everything that's happened up to this point, there's no coincidence.
No, there is not. And I've come to understand that quite a bit more recently in my past, in my life. So
right.
I do very much appreciate you saying that.
And, you know, we go from, you know, as it says, you know, God brings us from one glory to another.
Mm-hmm.
So the next glory stand is going to be greater than what's happened now. And it's already been so great. You know what I'm saying?
No. And you know, we also have to be patient
about Absolutely.
Those type of opportunities to come. Because you've just come through a great amount of activity and a great amount of development, I would probably say, as an individual.
And I'll say this too, Stan. I mean, it wasn't all easy. It wasn't all glorious. But then again, that's, I think, and the term is called grit.
Grit.
Right?
G-R-I-T.
You've heard of the term grit,
I've heard of the term grit, yes.
That's why you gotta, I mean, you know, being in this position, take picture here, take picture there. I didn't have time to take a lot of pictures, to be honest with you, because I was grinding. I was grinding it out. I had to do what I needed to do to make this organization to where it's at today. And I'm not saying that we're like, you know, we're running the world. But, you know, we're... You know, one thing that I am proud of, Stan, with the Filipino Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii, at least with the term that we were able to go through, is that we're leaving the organization in a better place than what we found it.
You know, that is probably the best outcome that one can have as a leader, just in general, is that you left the room better than when you found it, or mm-hmm. you left the organization better than when you found it. That was the line that I had when I was state president of the Hawaii.
Well, I learned that from you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The other one was to, you know, day one, you got to find your successors.
Well, you didn't have to worry about that. I mean,
she
was already there for you.
Right.
And I think that that's a development actually in the JCs. The JCs are doing the same thing, is where they have what they call a deputy president or a president-elect, and then they have the president after. So it's actually a three-year obligation because the actual chairmanship, the third year part, which is the chairmanship, they actually have you doing stuff or whatever. So, yes, you're right. The pathway that you need to go on is... You know, you're waiting for it to come about and stuff like that. Any last thoughts about your service as president of the Filipino Chamber?
It's been an honor. And you know, again, this is all part of God's plan. Whatever He has for me, this is part of all that. And so I took the honor of being president of the Filipino Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii. And I did the best I could. And I'm very proud of what we've been able to accomplish. And, you know, I'm very thankful for the opportunity that people had the confidence in me to be able to lead the organization the way I did.
So we're converting now from the questions that we had before for Brandon in regard to his service as the Filipino Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii president this last year to the PIVO questions. These are 10 questions, or actually in this case, it's going to be 9. They are originally came came from the French series Bouillon de Cotier, hosted by Bernard Pivot. They are better known as the questions that James Lipton asks every guest on the end of Inside the Actor's Studio Show, which I'm pretty sure a lot of my listeners have listened to. So there are 9 questions here, and so I'm ready to ask them to Mr. Brandon De La Cruz. Question number 1. What's your favorite word?
Hope.
Why hope?
Because that's what we have as long as we're alive.
That's pretty dang good. That's pretty concise. What's your least favorite word?
Unforgiveness.
Unforgiveness. So you believe that everybody can be forgiven?
I believe that the opportunity for forgiveness, even within ourselves, can be very powerful.
That's pretty powerful.
That's why I don't like the word unforgiveness, because it also applies to ourselves.
What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Music.
Anything specific?
I like to understand the process of how songs... Like, imagine being in the studio when Michael Jackson... What's a popular Michael Jackson that you can think of?
Man in the Mirror.
What if you were in the studio, on the couch, watching Michael Jackson in the studio singing that?
For the first time.
Making that classic.
Like, wouldn't that be there, like, for history, right?
Yeah, like, you know, and then you see it coming together. You know, he's singing it, and then a couple weeks later, you see it or you hear it pieced together. You know,
exactly.
like, and you say, "Wow, I was there, seeing that whole process." That to me inspires me to see, like, you know, how that whole process comes about, understanding how a masterpiece is put together.
What turned you off?
What turns me off? Staying still.
Okay.
I think we always got to try to move into something, move forward to try to get better.
What sound or noise do you love?
A good song. Okay. You want me to name a particular song or?
Let me ask you a question. Is the song that you would want to hear, or your favorite, the sound or noise that you love, is it one that inspires emotion in you, or is it... What is it that the song has to do in order for you to... Really...
It inspires emotion, but there's also sentiment to it. Like a song, like, say I grew up with.
Okay.
You know, listening to it brings back emotions of happiness and brings me back to the time where, you know, like one of the songs that I usually reference is Kanye West, Through the Wire.
Mm. Oh,
now,
okay.
This was going back to the whole process of how song is made. I did some studying about how he made that song. Now, you know, people know Kanye West as this guy who's like the superstar now, but nobody knew him back then. He made this song called Through the Wire because he got into a car accident. And so he got into an accident and they had to wire his mouth shut because he got physically harmed. So he used that and he made a song, and he's rapping like his mouth is wired shut. But he used that as a way to be able to, you know, take something that was intended for his harm into something that great and propelled him to become great.
A negative turning into a positive.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I reference that song because it's one that elicits an emotion of being able to overcome.
What sound or noise do you hate?
Silence, which is the absence of noise.
Why silence?
Because you're left to your own devices in terms of what to think.
No guidance, in other words.
That and just noise. Just straight up noise. Like, silence or noise? It's too extreme.
Right.
Noise has no definition. It's just there, just with no purpose, no... And, you know, noise can be interpreted in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. What I feel is noise could be music to you.
But so silence and noise are two sounds that you hate.
Let's just do noise.
Okay.
Just...
What profession, other than your own, would you like to attempt?
If I had the skill...
What profession, other than your own, would you like to attempt?
You know, if I had the skill, I would love to be a musician. You know, again, going back to the whole thing about how going, you know, Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror, to be able to see that and to be a part of that process.
Okay.
And I also say musician because if you ever go on, if you ever see, like, you know, them performing, musician, they look like they're having so much fun up there, and they're making people also smile at the same time. Now, granted, there's a lot of work that goes behind being a musician, right? A lot of practice, a lot of this, that. But they're enjoying what they're doing, and they're also making other people, and that's great. I think that's wonderful to be able to see that. Now, I don't have any musical talent, so that is probably not going to happen anytime soon.
Right. What profession would you not like?
You know, I will say this, and I'll answer, and this is probably not something that... I'm going to give some perspective.
Go ahead.
I went to Cambodia in 2011 for a medical mission. you know, Cambodia is a, you know, underdeveloped compared to America. And I just saw how, you know, how challenging things were for some people. I mean, I saw this, what probably was a 6-year-old girl carrying her little brother begging for money. And so I told myself, like, man, I cannot complain in America. I cannot complain in America. I mean, if there's people, you know, like, I feel that work is dignified, whatever you do. And being that we're in America, man, we have the opportunity that, that many, many people don't have. So I don't want to necessarily say that there's a job that I wouldn't like to do. I mean, obviously there are jobs that I don't want to do, I wouldn't want to do, but I would say, like, I just don't want to, I want to answer it in that way, mainly you know, in America, we have an opportunity to make ourselves great. You know, it's what
everybody has the equal opportunity for them. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
It does, Stan. And I'd like for him to say aloha and aloha and mabuhay.
There you go. So now there's one little segment here that I know that you had asked me before we had started the recording today, that you wanted to ask me some questions.
Well, I just want to ask you one question.
Sure.
If you had a chance to have any kind of Filipino dish in front of you right now, what would you want to have?
Ooh, that is a challenge, because you do know that I know some good dishes. So there's dinuguan, and then there's pancit. I would probably say pancit. And, you know, because I believe that, you know, because dinuguan, I do like dinuguan, but it's got to be made right.
Well,
yeah.
What is dinuguan for the list?
Why don't you tell me what dinuguan is?
No, what is it to you?
What is it to me? Well, it's like stewed meat, but I do know that it's what they call blood pork.
Yes, right.
So it's stewed meat that the sauce is made out of the blood of a pig.
Mm-hmm.
So they put vinegar into it and other spices into it, and they boil it up, and it's pretty much boiled down by the time you get it. So it's almost like a syrup, and it's like a black syrup from what I remember. And, you know, I've had it where, you know, they didn't put enough vinegar into it, or they put too much vinegar into it, or, you know, the other ingredients. There's a certain amount of balance, and so I really do look forward to when I do have good pancit. That's always good. I mean, that seems to be an easier thing to do that. So that's what my answer would be to that. Okay. Thank you for asking.
I hope that you enjoyed listening to that interview as much as it was for me to conduct the interview and also answer the questions that Brandon had asked me at the end there. Once again, I want to thank my friend Brandon Dela Cruz, former president of the Filipino Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii, about his past, where he is going in the future, and where is this young man going to land up next in the Filipino community, as well as in leadership here in the state of Hawaii. I think you need to watch for him, folks, just like we do with Tyler Dos Santos Tam. I think he's still a man with legs, and he is moving on up in Hawaii society. Final programming note before we clean up and leave the program for this week. Next week, we're going to have former Senator Will Aspero, on the show again. He's going to be talking about culture and arts and how that is going to relate to advancing of tourism here in the state of Hawaii. If you listened to the Super Debate last week, he brought that up as a plan to help evolve tourism here in the state of Hawaii, and I think that is very interesting. And also the fact that he had elaborated on those points quite a bit when I interviewed him at his office back in March. So I'm going to be sharing that interview with you on that point next week. Once again, if you are interested in being interviewed for the podcast and joining the likes of Albert Lanier, Noel Bailey, my friend DeBrandon Dela Cruz, who you just heard from, Marcus Pang, who you heard from before, Senator Will Aspero, and Council Member Candidate Tyler Dos Santos Tam, please go ahead and email me at sjfhawaii@gmail.com. sjfhawaii@gmail.com is where you're going to find me and be asking me if I can interview on this podcast. Go ahead and go to www.politicshawaii.com. Politicshawaii.com is where you're going to find this episode and all the older episodes of the Superfly Oz podcast, broadcast here every Saturday, most times from my little nook here in the downtown section, McCully section of downtown Honolulu, state of Hawaii, United States of America. See you next week, folks, on the podcast.